a very special episode, a third Monday in a row. For those who've been following right along with us tonight, we have a very special guest again, founder of VaticanAssassins.org, Mr. Eric John Phelps. He will be joining us very soon. If you've had the chance to tune in to parts one and parts two, wow, absolutely mind-blowing episodes. We've covered all kinds of topics, Jesuit coadjutors, we've covered the Black Pope, we've covered the White Pope, we've covered the history of the popes, a few assassinations, a few revolutions, the sinking of the Titanic, the deliberate sinking of the Titanic, mind you.
You're listening to Revealing.
Deliberate sinking of the Titanic to squash the opponents, what was left of the opponents to the Federal Reserve. John Jacob Astor went down in that Titanic. The owner of Macy's went down in the Titanic. Mr. Phelps could talk at great length on these subjects. The man is a walking encyclopedia. So tonight, we're going to have another mind-blowing episode, a remarkable one-hour interview, part three of Jesuit control over whatever you want to call it, the New World Order, the Illuminati, the global elites. It doesn't really matter. What we know is that there are puppet masters plucking these strings at the very top. Tonight, we're going to find out just a little bit more about what is going on behind the curtain. So without further ado, I think we're very fortunate enough to have Mr. Eric John Phelps with us. Eric, are you here?
Yes, I am. Pleasure to be with you, Max, and your listeners tonight.
Awesome. I cannot wait. We've got some great questions lined up. You know, we teased at the end of the part two, we teased part three that we'd talk about some assassinations throughout history, many of the known and unknown assassinations that were just passed off as death. Time to jump into that by the end of this part three, but we've had so many questions and so much positive feedback from the listeners that we have a whole lineup of content tonight that should be talked about, I think, before we dive into those assassinations. So if that's okay with you, Eric, I've got a few things we can just start spitballing. The listeners wanted to talk about set a foundation with the Jesuit coadjutors.
That would be fine. Sure.
Alex Jones, Jesse Ventura, George Norrie, and Ron Paul. So why don't we start with Alex Jones? What do you know, Eric, about Mr. Jones and his connections to the Jesuits?
Well, we have to first remember that Alex Jones, his father-in-law, Edmund Lowe Nichols, is a Knight of Malta. And he was an ambassador to Rome under the Reagan administration. Jones was made by the Knights of Malta. And his purpose is to instill fear in the listeners and also to instill the idea that there's no remedy for what's happening in the face of true history, which I try to specialize in, and show there is a remedy. And then he also is in the in crowd with all the Jesuit coadjutors of Fox News, Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera, all of them. And he is also interviewed by Jesse Ventura in his conspiracy theory. So Alex Jones is a Jesuit coadjutor par excellence. He'll talk about the Bilderbergers, but he'll never talk about the Knights of Malta in the Bilderbergers, like the Queen and Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands and a host of others.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I think many in the alternative crowd just smell, they smell something going on, that maybe something isn't right there. Do you think that his wife and her dad are the ones that made it possible for him to get into Bohemian Grove?
Absolutely. I'm sure her father had a hand in it. You just don't go into Bohemian Grove.
Right.
You have to be. And so he never snuck in. He never did this little dance that he has that he managed to get in there and take all these pictures. Because if you watch the interview between him and David Gergen, you can see that it's canned. you know, Gergen is openly castigating him for going a Bohemian Grove. But you look at the facial expressions, you know, they're working together. So it was all a con to make it look like he was truly a patriot, which indeed he is not. In fact, he was married by Tex Mars. Tex Mars is one of the big anti-Jew baiters right now.
Oh, wow. Tex Mars. Yep. Definitely familiar with him. Remember his work. We know Bohemian Grove has, you know, the world-class security system, sensors in the ground, you know, motion sensors in the woods. So, you know, for him to sneak through, it's just preposterous.
It's nonsense. You see, the Jesuits established Bohemian Grove. Bohemian Grove is only, what, 60, 70 miles north of the University of San Francisco, which is founded and run by the Jesuit order. The Jesuits run the Archbishop of San Francisco from the University of San Francisco. So Bohemian Grove is their creation. And in my PowerPoint, I show them the Jesuits and priests at Bohemian Grove in about 1927-28 having a black mass there. So it's absolutely papal, absolutely Jesuitical, and the owl has been the symbol of the Jesuits for years. I have it in my book to show that the Jansenists portrayed the Jesuits as an owl in one of the cartoons that they exposed the Jesuits to the great occultists, and an owl was one of their symbols.
Yeah, you nailed it. You were reading my mind, because that was my next question, is did they steal the owl? You know, because everyone sees the owl and thinks that, you know, associates that with Bohemian Club. It's also on the dollar, for those who might know. It's hidden in the in one of the little curves up on the, I think, the top right of the dollar. Yeah, that's interesting.
And remember that the dollar bill, as we know it today, was designed or redesigned by Nicholas Rarick and by Henry Wallace. And they put that all-seeing eye and then all the new layout for the dollar bill on the dollar bill in 1935. With our enterprise has been crowned with success because in 1935 they have the Federal Reserve Banking Act completed. By this time you have the Social Security in place. You have the national bankruptcy where they take the gold out of circulation and all the land and the labor of the nation is now collateral for the bankruptcy. So by 1935 they're in complete and total control and they're going to have a new de facto empire that's in place as a result of the 30s under FDR. So Nicholas Rarick, who was a Russian Jesuit, and Henry Wallace, who was FDR's vice president, they met together in New York. They put together this seal. So by 1935, they put it on the dollar bill.
Wow, interesting. It's always funny to hear you say the Jesuits from different countries. So there's, it seems like they really have no allegiance to any one country, right?
Oh, no. Oh, not at all. Part of the Jesuit, formation, that's what they call it, is you completely lose any nationality. You have no allegiance to your nation anymore. You have no allegiance to your family. You have no allegiance to your mother and father. The order is everything. And if you have any inheritance, you will it to the order. So the society is everything. You are nothing. And to show that, to have that illustrated, just go to any Jesuit cemetery. There's one not far from here in Warnersville. And all the tombstones are the exact same size. They have the same thing written on it. The day you were born, the day you entered the order, the day you died. It's really communism. It's really communism in its ultimate perfection. And so the Jesuits tout universal equality. And, of course, there's no allegiance to anybody or anything other than their superior and the Black Pope.
Interesting. I'm trying to think here how a Jesuit would spend money, but I have a feeling they probably don't even spend money. Somebody else just gets them what they need, I have a feeling.
No, some of the high Jesuits do have money. In fact, I have a friend that's working on a Texas oil well who brought up the issue of the Jesuits to one of his co-workers, and his co-worker said, I have a cousin who's a Jesuit in New York, and he always has money.
Always has money. Mm-hmm. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So they're the big masters of finance, as you know. In fact, the $43 trillion that's just come out, that's been lost, quote unquote, they're all Jesuit banks that were behind that. All six banks were run by the Jesuits.
Sounds about right. I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned a name that crosses paths often with Alex Jones, and that's Jesse Ventura. Jesse the Body Ventura, he was the governor of, what, Minnesota for a while, and then now he's made a name for himself as this ex-Navy SEAL turned conspiracy theorist. See, and what supports the idea that he's connected to the Jesuits?
Well, first of all, when you're a SEAL, you're a CIA agent for life. you're never done with the agency. And so, remember, the CIA was patterned after the Jesuit order. The CIA is called the company. The Jesuit order is called the company. First head of the CIA, really, was the OSS, later to become the CIA. The first head of the OSS was Knight of Malta, Wild Bill Donovan, who got one of the highest orders, honorary orders that the Pope could give, the Order of St. Sylvester, and it's also a cross of the Knights of Malta. I covered this in my book. But the Knights of Malta were the original founders of the CIA. Alan Dulles was a Knight of Malta. Leon Panetta was a Knight of Malta. You have a host of them that are Knights of Malta. William Casey. And so when you're in the agency, you're in for life. You don't get out except by salvation through Christ or death. And so I maintain that Jesse Ventura is a former Navy SEAL, is still a CIA asset. He's doing quite well now, and he's been on the conspiracy circuit. But now he says that Fox News won't speak to him and so on. I maintain this is all a front because he is the one I believe they're going to use to bring in right-wing fascism. He's a tough guy. He's a soldier. He's someone the military can follow. He is someone white because the fascism is going to be white. It's going to be all the whites driven into right-wing fascism as a result of this pro-black, anti-white policy of the last 60 years. It's going to balloon under Obama, whose secret master is a white man, Joe Biden. So they're going to drive all these whites to right-wing fascism. And who's going to be there but some white militaristic leader? Somebody like Jesse Ventura. The other thing about Ventura is when he was talking about the scandal in New York, about the banking scandal, he mentioned Legatus as a beneficiary. Well, he didn't mention that Legatus was financed and created by Knight of Malta Tom Monahan, who is the founder of that pizza monopoly across the country. What is it? I can't remember the name. In fact, they have a special contract with the Pentagon. But he also wants to found his own Roman Catholic city down there in Florida. So he doesn't mention Legatus being founded by Tom Monahan. So he is deliberately avoiding the Jesuit, papal, Knight of Malta connection and this conspiracy and the banking fiasco and everything he touches. And I maintain because he's one of them.
Yeah, you're right. I think he has very quite similar
Domino's pizza. Thank you.
Domino's. That's it. Domino's.
Excuse
that makes
me.
Sense. Him and Alex Jones seem to have the same presentation. You know, they bark, but there's no solution. There's no solution talked about or what can we do, but it's a lot of fear mongering.
Right. That's exactly right. And you see, when you put people in fear, they can't think. You can't have logic. You can't look in true history and what was done in the past that worked. And so therefore we can't implement what will work now as what worked in the past. And so I try to specialize in that.
Very good. Very good. What about the next one that kind of leads to a conspiracy crowd over at Coast to Coast? He's known as George Norrie now. And, you know, he talks about a lot of interesting stuff, but, you know, kind of stops short there.
Well, George Norrie, from what I understand, was educated at the University of Detroit Mercy. And University of Detroit Mercy is a Jesuit institution overseeing Detroit. Nothing goes down in Detroit but what the Jesuits there at the University of Detroit Mercy don't permit.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. So the destruction, you know, really of Detroit, I've heard it's one of the most dangerous cities now in the United States. There's police who've, you know, quit going to work. They don't even patrol some areas now because it's just completely lawless.
Yeah. I distinguish between the majority savage blacks and the minority civil blacks. I have that on my website. I talk about it regularly. And I have certain black men who support me, and I have two black advisors right now because I make that distinction. Well, the Jesuits are intending to turn Detroit into a huge black crime area to justify martial law. And that's why they fomented the civil rights movement. That's why they burned Detroit to drive the whites out. And so ultimately it would be a black city that is majority savage black with savage leaders. Like one of my advisors gets in because my advisor is not far from Detroit. And so their purpose is just to drive them to desperation, to cut off transportation out of Detroit, ultimately to cut off trucking and food into Detroit, so they'll have to declare martial law. And I maintain Detroit will be one of the cities they're going to unleash one of their mini nukes. And so some of the Shia population in Detroit have contacted me and asked me what they should do. I said, you need to get out of there. Because yeah. That's exactly what they – and it was right on the Detroit-Windsor line. So if they put out a mini nuke there, it would go into Canada. And then they could unite Canada and the U.S. under the Department of Homeland Security. Then they can have their huge fascist state that will include both countries.
I love it. Homeland Security. I know that wasn't an accident, was it? That wasn't a slip-up. You really meant to say Homeland Security.
That's right. Because that's what it is. The Department of Homeland Security was really created by John C. Gannon. John C. Gannon was a member of the Jesuit Volunteer Corps when he was a youth. He went on to be a leader in the CIA. He used to give the CIA daily brief to the president. He was in the CIA for 23 years. This man is the true founder of the Department of Homeland Security, and he's not a Malta.
Wow, interesting. I had heard there was also a connection back to, you know, Hitler's empire. Didn't he call it the same thing almost, motherland security?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he called it the fatherland and the homeland, yeah. And you have that same kind of rhetoric in Stalin's Russia, too. Because remember, Hitler and Stalin worked together. They walked the castle of what Schoenberg in Vienna, Austria, the Habsburg castle there in 1913. They knew each other. That's why they worked together. And if you read a book called Hitler's Traitor, it's about Martin Bormann. It shows the connection between Martin Bormann and Joseph Stalin. As soon as an order came out of Berlin, the Red Orchestra, Stalin knew about it within 24 hours. Why? Because Hitler and Stalin worked together through Martin Bormann, and that's why they helped Martin Bormann escape at the end of the war, and he goes down to South America and builds 750 corporations for the rise of future fascism.
Wow. This is just unreal. And I think it's important, too, to remind the listeners, and I think you'd probably agree, Eric, is, you know, they're, you know, what we should be talking about here is humans. This is about humans. But unfortunately, it's being divided into these races and, you know, one culture pitted against the next culture. And it's just divide and conquer all over again.
That's right. That's what the Jesuits are masters of. That's what they did in World War II, World War I. We're going to teach the English to hate the Germans and the Germans to hate the English. And what do we have here? We have the two most prominent Protestant white nations and empires in the world.
We'll be right back. Eric John Phelps.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. We can't pay you for sharing and tweeting us on Facebook and Twitter, but we will love you for it. Find links on our website at revealingtalkradio.com and follow us today.
This is Matthew Cooper from the Positive Control Systems show. All behavior is communication. Tune in and learn how to properly communicate with your family and everyone around you. Join me each Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here on Revealing Talk Radio.
G'day, this is Timmy from the Timmy Down Under show. I'm an Aussie bloke keeping it real on the Gold Coast of Australia. Check me out each week right here on Revealing Talk Radio. You'll get the Aussie perspective. I'll be here waiting for you.
If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We're looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
All right, we're back. Eric John Phelps from Vatican Assassins. You're listening to RevealingTalkRadio.com. Thank you for joining us. We're going to go into some questions from the listeners, but first we've got one more Jesuit coadjutor to talk about. I know that we touched on this just briefly last time, but Eric, could you tell us a little bit more about Ron Paul and his Jesuit empire?
Well, Ron Paul, according to my advisor in Italy, has been to Rome 50 times. He has a property in Italy. He is a dear friend of several of the priests, and hence he's in the pocket of the Pope. And so, if you'll notice, he never has anything negative to say about the papacy. In fact, he calls the Pope a great moral leader, and he continues with that. So he is a Jesuit coadjutor on quote unquote the right. And one of the things he's doing is he is very cleverly building the new right fascist movement. You know, he just recently resigned from Congress. And he says the government's going into fascism. Well, it's the very fascism that he helped create.
Yeah, it sounds like he might be teaming up with Jesse Ventura.
Sure does. And remember, there's a whole bunch of fascists at Fox News, too. So don't be surprised if we have some sort of ecumenical movement among the new white fascist leaders.
Wow. Interesting. Well, all these white fascist leaders seem to be right now talking about this Gaza. Gaza is attacking Israel right now. Look out. Rockets are coming from Gaza. Little do people know, Israel started it. They're always starting it. They bombed a Hamas leader out of nowhere, which, by the way, people should know Hamas is the democratically elected government of Palestine. So first of all, they refuse to acknowledge that Hamas is... And then they bomb their leaders out of nowhere and take out kids and civilians with them. And then Palestine responds with rockets. Of course, they're allowed to defend themselves, right? And so all we hear about is this conflict in Palestine where Gazans are sending rockets into Tel Aviv. Can you tell us anything about what's going on right now over there, Eric?
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to realize that the Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people have a natural right, a God-given right to their land. And this is called the Abrahamic covenant. It's still in effect. Gaza was part of Judah. That's their land. And they gave that land up in land for peace. So there should be no Arabs in that land in the first place. The second thing is that, indeed, Hamas is a tool of the Vatican because the Knights run it, just like they run Hezbollah, just like they also run the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists, run the government of Israel. All these factions work together, and they work together for the continuation of the Arab-Israeli agitation, because that cannot be allowed to end until the final Pope of Rome ends it with an international peace treaty that will bring a temporary peace to Jerusalem and Israel, pursuant to the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel in chapter 9, verse 27. So all these governmental factions work together. I mean, Peres, when he went to Oslo, what did he do? The PLO was dead. He gave everything back to them that they wanted, and he revived Yasser Arafat. Because Peres is a tool of the Pope. Peres couldn't care less about the Hebrew, Jewish, Israelitish people. He's a traitor to them. And Yossi Belin, who was his right-hand man in September of 1993, he deeds the Temple Mount to the Pope, to the papacy. That's treason. According to the Bible, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. The land is theirs. It doesn't belong to anybody else. But oh no, because we have these Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists running the country since its very inception, that were created by the party, that were controlled by the Jesuit order through the Fabian Socialists. They controlled the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists and the Labor Zionism from the get-go, and they would not allow any other Zionism to have a part in it, like the revisionist Zionists led by Vladimir Jabotinsky. We got to kill him in Hunter, New York. We have to kill any true Jew who wants to have truly a nation for Jews. We can't allow that. We have to have a continual agitation because this is part of the establishment of the Pope's revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, which included Roman Catholics, Muslims, Jews, and Jerusalem would be an international city.
Wow.
See, that's what's really happening. And so, therefore... I defend the Jews' right to their land. I call for the removal of all the Arabs, all the white people, all the black people, everybody but the Jews themselves. And I also maintain that there ought to be Masonic, Messianic Jews allowed to live in their land because the Messianic Jews who believe on Christ are treated despicably by the Orthodox Jews. So they have a right to their own land. They should have a government that's not beholden to the Pope. But as long as Washington has a say over the government in Israel, they will always be beholden to the Pope because Washington's beholden to the Pope, just like London's beholden to the Pope. And Ahmadinejad of Iran, when he talks about the power structure in London and Washington controlling Israel, he's absolutely right. But because Ahmadinejad works for the Pope, he'll never tell you that London and Washington are controlled by the Pope, just like Jerusalem is, just like Tehran is.
Wow. That is too bad. Because what it amounts to is just humans losing life. And it's just horrible. It needs to stop. Doesn't matter to me what your creed is, what your race, your color, what you believe. It doesn't matter. People are dying. I say we just replace all the weapons with Nerf bow and arrows and Nerf guns, and we can shoot each other with foam darts. How's that sound?
Yeah, but you see, as long as you have 300 million fanatical Muslims there who want to do away with Israel, you're going to have the 1968 Palestinian Covenant. And that calls for the destruction of Israel, to driving them in the sea. That's still to be followed. All these agreements of peace with the Arabs is for one end, to the end that the Arab Muslims will destroy Israel. That's their great dream. And this can't happen. This will not be allowed to happen, because it's in the interest of the Lord, of the risen Son of God, that there be an Israel in place at the time of his second coming, Jews occupying Jerusalem at the time of his second coming, and it's in the interest of the devil that there be a Jerusalem occupied by Jews, because the third Hebrew temple to be built for the devil and his pope cannot happen as long as Jerusalem would be run by Muslims. And that's why the Jesuits used the British to take Jerusalem away from the Muslims when they destroyed the Ottoman Empire, and they created the Red Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem so that Jerusalem would be in the hands of the Jews, so that the third temple could be rebuilt for the Pope.
Wow. Man, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, a walking encyclopedia right here of historical, forgotten historical information. Let's get to some questions from the listeners. We've got one here from, let's see, he says, hi, Max, could you ask Eric if the war against Iran will be during, before, or after the 2016 North American wars? And is that war with Iran, is that going to spiral into World War III?
Well, I'm of the opinion that during this second Obama administration, or I should say Barry Davis administration, we're going to have war in Iran. You have four carrier groups that are there in the Persian Gulf area. You have a fifth carrier group of France that's there on the Charles de Gaulle. You have U.S. troops in Afghanistan. You have U.S. troops in Iraq. They're not out of Iraq. And so you have Iran completely surrounded. And you have a government of Iran that is inciting the people to war with Israel. And then now Genesis 13 comes in to play, I will bless those that bless thee and curse those who curse thee. So therefore, and remembering that when the Arabs attacked Israel after they declared their independence in 1948, the five Arab nations, not in less than 4 years, all the Arab leaders of those nations had either been assassinated or removed from power.
Wow.
And anybody who seeks to enter, any Arab who seeks to enter into a peace agreement with Jerusalem, with Israel, just happens to die. Like Sadat, and like the leader of Lebanon, he was assassinated. So the papacy is very careful that anybody who wants to, any Arabs who want to have some sort of a peace with Israel, that they're not allowed to stay in power, because we've got to keep the agitation going. So meanwhile, the war with Iran, what's the purpose for the war of Iran? The war in Iran is to kill the Shia Muslims. Remember, the Sunnis hate the Shia. The Shia are regarded as infidels by the Sunnis. And the Sunnis control all the money. That's Kuwait, that's Qatar, that is Saudi Arabia, or I should say Arabia under the Sauds. And you have the United Arab Emirates, which has Abu Dhabi and Dubai. All the huge mega trillions that are controlled by the Muslims in the Middle East there are controlled by the Sunnis. And so the Sunnis are opening their treasure chests to annihilate the Shia of Iran, which will also include 20,000 Jews in Tehran. So you got Jews to kill, you got Shia to kill, and when that's taken place using the American military-industrial complex, after that's taken place, then the Sunni world will unite against the U.S. for its invasion by the Sunnis and the Chinese and the Russians.
Yikes. Sounds like a history I would love to avoid. We got another question here. That last one was from Richard T. This one is from Nick. Nick asks, in a previous show, Eric mentioned Eastern Canada will be safe to live during the race wars because the area will return under control of the Europeans. So, Eric, what will life be like under that type of rule, if you had to guess?
Well, Eastern Canada will be the best place to be. I won't say that it will be absolutely safe, but it will be better because you're not going to have – I do not believe you're going to have invading Chinese and Muslims and Russia into Eastern Canada. I believe the EU will take Eastern Canada. The EU, because it's Catholic, the Reformation's been killed out of Europe. It's going to take Catholic Quebec and the Maritimes and Nova Scotia and that general vicinity where you have these super ports like Halifax and others and Boston as it comes down into the Northeast. So I maintain they're going to get that vicinity there, but the rest will be divided up among the other conquerors.
Interesting. Okay. A couple more questions. We'll try to run through them and we'll answer them quickly here. This is from Susan. Says, hi, Max and Eric. Great show. Thank you, Susan. Eric, after all this war and martial law, does the Roman Catholic Church wish to rule the world exactly like it did back in the Dark Ages? And will the Roman Catholic priests become once again the most powerful people in society, more powerful than governors, mayors, and will everyone else be their slaves during this feudalism, like a global version of the Jesuit Paraguay reductions?
I believe the Jesuits have changed their tactics. Because if it's outwardly Roman Catholic, then everybody say, look, the Catholic Church rules us. But if it's outwardly run by atheists, like Jesse Ventura, then people will say, well, it's just atheists that run everything. But yet I will show you a book called The Revolutionary Movement by Jay Feinlater, sent to me by one of my black advisors, Brother Omar. And he shows you in that book that the Jesuits are the authors of atheism and communism. And so it's this system that they want to win. They don't want fascism to win. Fascism is just a means to get the country to communism. Before they put Germany under communism, which is under communism today, it's radical democracy. Radical democracy is socialist communism. Before they put Germany under socialist communism during the old Cold War, they put it under fascism to kill out all the true Protestant preachers of Prussia and to kill out the Jews of Germany. Once you kill out those two factions, you can have successful communism. And of course, Germany was rebuilt by Knight of Malta, Konrad Adenauer, whose brother-in-law was Knight of Malta, John J. McCloy, one of the heads of Chase Manhattan Bank and one of the co-conspirators in the Kennedy assassination. So what the Jesuits are building, I believe, is a universal state of atheism and communism, which will be the vacuum for the final Pope of Rome when he's murdered and he comes back to life. People will say, oh my God, there really is a God. There really is something here. And when he comes back to life, everybody will see that he's dead and he's alive. And he'll have a Hebrew false prophet that can call fire out of heaven. And they'll say, there really is a God. And this vacuum of communism, of atheistic communism, will be essential for the world to worship the beast. That's what I think their end game is.
Wow. Sounds like that is, sounds like you have that one figured out. Yeah. Wow. Interesting stuff. Eric, and one more question here. This is from Stephen O. Hey guys, Eric, you mentioned in an interview years ago that the Vatican created Sunni Islam. So why did the Vatican have to fight the Muslims during the Crusades? Like, why did they fight their own creation? Did the Vatican at some point lose control of its own creation, i.e.
Yes.
Sunni Islam?
Yes, the Vatican lost control of Sunni Islam. Two things happened. After the death of Muhammad, you have a division in Islam. You have those that follow the successor of Muhammad, then you have those who follow Ali. Well, the ones who follow Ali are the Shia. The ones who follow this other successor of Muhammad are the Sunnis. So the Shia were not a creation of Rome. The Shia were an offshoot that Rome was really not in control of. But when Rome creating the Sunnis, the Quran being written in Rome, and et cetera, it was just the long arm of the papacy to kill the enemies that the papacy wanted to be destroyed. But in about 750, after Islam had taken Jerusalem from the Eastern Empire, because the deal was that the popes would back Islam so that when they took Jerusalem, Islam would give Jerusalem back to the pope. They refused to do it. The Sunnis called the Pope an infidel, which of course he is, and they refused to give Jerusalem to the Pope. And so as a result, some 300 years later, the Pope begins to launch his crusades in his attempt to take back Jerusalem, which is what he wanted in the first place. And the first crusade did take Jerusalem, using the Knights of Malta, the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, the Hospitallers. But then later on in 1187, they lose Jerusalem to Saladin, and they are never able to get it back in spite of all the other crusades, including the crusades led by Napoleon and the crusades led by the British under Allenby. The Pope finally got it back with Allenby when Allenby took Jerusalem in 1917.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal, Eric. I don't know how you retain all this stuff, buddy. My producer is looking through the window at me with his jaw on the floor, and I think that's the look of OMG. I don't know how he just recalled all that so quickly. So again, folks, you're hearing it. The walking encyclopedia right here. Absolutely mind-blowing.
Well, when you do it for 25 years, it kind of comes natural, I guess.
I guess so. Hey, we think we got a couple minutes before the break. What can you tell us about Reconstruction?
Reconstruction. After the war between the states, the war of Northern Aggression, the purpose of the Vatican was to destroy the historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant South. Remember the Protestant South? There was not a very large Catholic population there. The cities were primarily Protestant. And so after they decimated the Protestant city of Richmond, the Protestant city of Columbia, the Protestant city of Atlanta, after they didn't decimate the Catholic city of New Orleans, by the way. After they decimated the five prominent Protestant states of Virginia, Maryland, North and South Carolina, and Georgia, then they sought to impose a miscegenation, a forced miscegenation of the whites under Reconstruction. This is where they came out with the Civil Rights Act, and they put the South under five military dictators for the purpose of forcing the 14th Amendment down the throats of the Southern states. And because they refused, they put the Southern states under martial law for 2 years, from 1867 to 65 to 67 or so, until the Southern states began to ratify the 14th Amendment. So by 1870, Texas is the last state, I believe, to ratify, and hence we have a new nation. The old nation founded by George Washington ends, and the new America is now the creation as of July 28, 1868, with the 14th Amendment. So as a result, the Reconstruction continues. By the way, the first Ku Klux Klan is created by...
Interesting. Eric, well, hang on that thought. We will be right back with Revealing Talk Radio. Eric John Phelps, Vatican Assassins.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. If you've ever wanted to host your own talk show, Revealing Talk Radio, the world's newest premier radio network, has an opportunity for you. We are looking for many topics, whether your interest is in business, sports, helping others, alternative news, or simply promoting a product. Revealing Talk Radio wants you to become a talk radio host today. Go to revealingtalkradio.com or call 407-796-2102.
Variety is a spice of life, and why not spice up your life with a Joe Show on Revealing Talk Radio? Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, the Joe Show goes live and brings you a variety of guests. We have guests such as celebrities, authors, comedians, musicians, and so much more. All this only on the Joe Show, live Monday through Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Revealing Talk Radio.
This is Matthew Cooper from the Positive Control Systems Show. All behavior is communication. Tune in and learn how to properly communicate with your family and everyone around you. Join me each Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here on Revealing Talk Radio.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.
Yes, we are back. Another quick break in the books. Last one of the night. It's the home stretch now. You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio. Yours truly, Max Maverick, fortunate enough to interview the amazing Eric John Phelps, founder of VaticanAssassins.org, also the author of Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. 1,800 pages of mind-blowing information that it will fill so many gaps in history. I don't even know where to begin. If you want to begin, start with part one, listen to part two, listen to part three, which we're talking about tonight, and I think we might even be fortunate enough to have a part four, because we're just not going to get into the actual assassinations and the history of assassinations and all the hidden ones that you probably didn't even know about. But tonight, we had to cut off Eric just a second ago. He was talking about the Ku Klux Klan, the history of... Can you finish that thought, Eric?
Yes, yes. The first Ku Klux Klan was started in 1865. It lasted for 4 years. Nathan Bedford Forrest ended it in 1869. Remember, the Klan started because the radical red Republicans in the North were inciting the blacks to rape, pillage, and murder in the South, stealing the Southern plantations, to inciting them to crime. And so the first Ku Klux Klan not only stopped that, but they also stopped the Northern carpetbaggers from stealing them blind. And as a result, the Jesuits had to take over this first Ku Klux Klan, so they did so, and one of the people they used to take it over with was a priest by the name of Father Jacob Ryan, who became the chaplain of the first Ku Klux Klan, and it begins to morph into some violent, radical organization, for which reason Nathan Bedford Forrest, the greatest cavalry commander of the Confederacy, a great Southern general, he abolished it in 1869. So as a result, the Jesuits say, well, we got control of this organization, so we're going to secretly continue it with that wicked Albert Pike, the Albert Pike who incited the Sioux to kill several hundred American civilians up in Minnesota during the war around 1862. So we're going to use Albert Pike to continue the Klan underground, and it's going to reemerge in 1915 as the second Ku Klux Klan, and this will be the Klan totally controlled by the Jesuits. Even though it has many things to say that are correct against the papacy and Jesuits, it's going to hate the Jews, and it's going to neutralize any white movement to unite against the Pope's white power structure.
I had no idea.
That's right.
I had no idea.
There's two clans. Never forget it. I'd have been in the first one, but not the second one. and so that's what happened. And so the start a movement. If a movement starts, they can then hijack it and control it, and then they direct it to where they want it to go. So,
yep, control from the inside. Another couple quick questions we have from Mark S. This is a good one. Hi, Max and Eric. In what year will the third Hebrew temple be rebuilt, and in what year will the final pope die and come back to life? Are we talking like 2020, 2025? When, Eric? We must know.
I don't know. It'll be sometime in the future, though.
great. Yeah, that's probably a hard one to call.
I never set dates. It's just those events will happen.
Yeah, they're always changing their plans. They're not not necessarily stuck on a time and date of anything. They're patient. They seem to be awfully, awfully patient in these world events that they help unfold.
That's right. The Jesuits are the masters of contingency. They have plans, but as you know, man proposes and God disposes. So the Lord restrains the mystery of iniquity to conform with his mystery of godliness and the preaching of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And if the devil seems to try to get a little ahead of the program, then the Lord just puts a damper on it.
Right. Sounds about right. This one comes from Kevin. Can Eric explain what will become of the other Roman Catholic priest orders, like the Francians, the Dominicans, etc.? After all this post-fascist World War III era, will the priests still be around ruling, or will the Jesuits annihilate them and claim all power to themselves and the Antichrist?
No, the Jesuits have a little maxim. It says, above all, not too much zeal. So one of their designs is you stay in the shadows, you stay quietly in control, and let it appear that others have a say. But the Jesuits run the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the Benedictines, as well as the Papal Orders, Knights of Malta, Knights of Constantinian Order, Knights of the Equestrian Order. They run all of them because there's Jesuits in all these orders and in all these brotherhoods, keeping them in line because these Jesuits report to the Jesuit general. But there will always be factions that appear to have a say, but in fact they don't. The Jesuits run them all. The Jesuits, remember, declared war on the papacy after the French Revolution, when they used Napoleon to war on the papacy, to kill Pius VI, to capture Pius VII. And in 1814, when the order is revived by the Pope, they ultimately have complete power by 1901.
Yeah.
So they totally run the papacy.
Interesting. You mentioned, I think, before this Antichrist figure. I know the conspiracy alternative news crowd is always referring to this Antichrist. Do you think there will be an Antichrist that comes to power?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. 1 John 2:18, 1 John 4:3, the Antichrist is indeed coming. He's a man. He's the beast of Revelation 13, verses 3 through 10. The beast of Daniel 7:11, he's a man. He's the beast who's going to be cast in the lake of fire by Christ himself at his second coming. This man is the most important man of Scripture, second only to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is coming.
Is that man alive right now on earth, or is that somebody that is yet to be named, do you think?
I think he's yet to come.
Okay.
I think there are several popes after this one. Because for the Antichrist to finally come to power, there has to be a third Hebrew temple. There has to be a rebuilt temple in Babylon. You have to have a rebuilt Babylonian city. You have to have a unification of all the kings of the East, of the Asian nations, which is being centered in China now. You have to have a complete and total unified Europe. All these things are yet to happen.
Interesting. Okay, we got to keep moving. There's more stuff. Tell us about John Lafarge. What do you know about John Lafarge, and why is he significant?
John Lafarge was the leader of the civil rights movement. He was the Jesuit who was the advisor to Francis Cardinal Spellman. There was a book that he wrote on the civil rights movement that my black lady friend spoke about in her great work, King, Was He a False Prophet? And so John Lafarge was really the creator of the civil rights movement. Remember, the civil rights movement is nothing more than the second Reconstruction. It was intended to create black supremacy to drive all the whites to right-wing fascism. And so now, because the first Reconstruction didn't work, it ended in 1877, they gave us a second Reconstruction. It's called the Civil Rights Movement. And with that, they used their bully society member, Martin Lucifer King, who was really the agent and gopher for A. Philip Randolph. A. Philip Randolph was a black Freemason subject to Jesuit John Lafarge.
Wow, never would have guessed it.
Yeah, so I cover that in my book. And by the way, Miss Fraser, Erin Fraser, covers it in her book, King, Was He a False Prophet?
Wow, I never would have guessed. Never would have guessed. We hear it too in these. There's another question that came through. Is there a Jesuit and Freemasonic connection to the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan?
Absolutely. The Jesuit. Remember, the Nation of Islam was created out of Detroit, and the Jesuits run Detroit with an iron fist and a velvet glove. They also run Chicago. The two most important cities to the Nation of Islam are Detroit and Chicago. Jesuits run them both. You got the Jesuit University of Detroit Mercy in Detroit. You got the Loyola University in Chicago. Two powerful Jesuit universities. So they control it. And if you read in a book called The Man to See, Edward Bennett Williams. Edward Bennett Williams was a powerful Knight of Malta in the days of LBJ. LBJ wanted to make him the mayor of Washington, D.C. Edward Bennett Williams was the owner of the Washington Redskins and the Cardinals. Edward Bennett Williams also was an attorney for the Nation of Islam and the false prophet Elijah Muhammad at the time of the assassination of Malcolm X, which Cardinal Spellman had killed in Audubon Ballroom because Malcolm X wasn't playing ball.
Oh, interesting. There's always symbolism. With Kennedy, they killed him in a Masonic pyramid, right? In Dealey Plaza, I heard there's a Masonic connection. They always like to have a symbolism even where they kill these guys.
That's right. And Audubon Ballroom was no exception to the rule. Remember that when his wife, Betty, was asked who killed Malcolm, the high command of the FBI in conjunction with the leaders of the Nation of Islam. That's what she said.
Wow. Wow. Man, your book begins to – the title of your book makes more and more sense every time I speak with you, and that's Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. So it seems like you've even tied a little bit of symbolism there into the title of your book. Just absolutely mind-blowing stuff. On with the Muslims here, I had a really good question emailed to me directly. I wanted to ask this one. What is the reason behind this substantial Muslim immigration into Western Europe? Is it, you know, this? He says he's from England and he's noticed this big time. You know, will it ever stop? Is there a reason behind it? What can you say about that?
Now remember, the nobles of Europe, controlled by the Pope, have facilitated all this Muslim invasion of Europe. And the question is why? Is Europe to become Muslim? Absolutely not. The policy of the papacy has never changed. He used Charles Martel in, 732 to stop the Islamic invasion into Europe through Spain. They're going to stop it again. The reason why they brought all these Muslims into Europe and are financing building mosques in England and not allowing churches to be built is because they intend to, after they've completely destroyed the Reformation there, which they about have in England, they're going to unite all the white people of Europe against the Muslims who are incited to crime. Remember, the Muslims are committing lots of crime in Europe, in the Scandinavian nations, rape, murder, robbery, and so on. The leaders are inciting those people to do that. So the white people in Europe will be driven to the extreme of right-wing fascism into the arms of the Pope. And the Pope will look like a leader and a savior to the Islamic Muslim invasion, which he and his Jesuits caused.
Makes perfect sense. Man, when you know all the details and you can fill all the gaps like Eric does, things really begin to get much more clear. That is for sure. I can't wait to have you on. I think are we going to do it next? Let's do it next Monday. What do you say? We'll do it next Monday and talk about assassinations.
I think your leaders, your listeners, got to be tired of me. Maybe you got to find somebody better. Maybe.
No, you wouldn't believe all the supportive emails and comments we're getting about having you. You know, Eric, the show has really blown up since we've had you on. We've just had significant growth and viewer and listener followership. It's just awesome. So thank you for coming on, and I feel like, man, we just scratched the tip of the iceberg every time, and here we are, you know, three episodes deep now. So next time we'll have you on, we'll talk about the JFK assassination. I'm sure there's a ton more that you can fill in there. There will be a long list, I bet, of assassinations that we don't even recognize as assassinations because they were really just mysterious deaths or you know, deaths swept under the rug for one reason or another. Sounds like you've got a lot of experience there. One last question. I've been asked this multiple times, and I imagine you have some kind of intelligent answer here. It goes like this. You know, because these Jesuits are so clearly they're very wise. They have all the knowledge. They have almost an uncanny ability to control humans. There's not a whole lot of time to answer this, so maybe it'll extend into the next show. But is there any evidence that you've seen that there might be a Jesuit connection to, you know, fallen angels or some kind of supreme being, extra dimensional or otherwise?
Well, there's no question that the high Jesuits have interaction with demonic creatures and that they are directed to do what they do by them. I have no doubt of that because they're the big occultists. They're the druids of today. They're the high sorcerers. And so they do interact with these entities.
Wow, man, you know, I had a feeling because we always see this, you know, occult and black magic stuff. I mean, even, even some of these, you know, like Tex Mars, I think, has even talked about how he's willing to talk about some of this, you know, sorcery and, you know, devil magic and kind of stuff. So they give you a little taste of, like, you know, there's some occult magic here going on, but they don't really get into the, you know, the real demonic beings and how these, you know, there's an intelligence here that they're interacting with, they're getting information from and being directed, it seems like.
That's right. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Well, Eric, that is we are coming up on the end of the show, and it has been a mind-blowing hour again. We've just covered topic after topic after topic. I have a feeling there will be some new and interesting world developments, maybe with the Palestinian Gaza conflict. Hopefully, it's nothing like you've mentioned with the nuke or bomb that's destined for Detroit or the Northern America. I know that would be a great reason to help, you know, instill the martial law.
Like Los Angeles, another one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, our producer is going to call, to schedule next Monday as soon as the show ends. So don't go anywhere. You'll hear from him shortly. But Eric, thank you again for stopping by. We learned a ton. A few last words. Go for it.
Pleasure to be with you and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sounds great. And it is, it's always so good to have you, Eric. Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure, my friend.
Lord bless Max and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Take care.
You're listening to Revealing Talk Radio.